Hey, it's Lisa Korduff, and I, like many of you, have had a rough few years, and somewhere along the way, just felt like I lost my spark. So it is time for something radical. I have pulled the kids out of school for 5 months. We've strapped on the backpacks and are heading away for an overseas adventure. Who knows what's to come? Thank you for joining me as I take Conversations on the Road. I'm sitting at, well, what would be referred to as a beach in Japan. It's actually a lake, Lake Biwa. And Onimeiko is the place. And I don't think I'll ever forget this moment because it's one of those absolutely perfect pinch me now, is this actually real moments. And I have been crying so much. Been in the water a lot, and now I've got very pink shoulders, so I've come in from the water and I've just been watching the kids and they're just having a ball. It's 37 degrees in Kyoto today, and I just thought, no, we're not going to be going to walk around that city and look at temples and stuff in this heat. Surely there's going to be a place we can cool off. And we've landed in this most absolutely magical location, and I was sitting watching the kids, just reveling in them, really. You know, when you can see your children, really sort of see them in their element. And now I'm being called back into the water. And for the first time for a really long time, I felt Nick right next to me. I was thinking about just how in all of these beautiful, blissful moments with the kids, it's just, you know, it's always this double-edged sword because, God, it's just so perfect. I can't even express. And it's just so sad he's not here. He would have loved this off-the-beaten-track spot. He would have loved that we just bought lunch from this little shack, this little family-owned shack. We think they might live upstairs. And his son said, I just love that we bought from these people. I don't know if they get many people buying from them. Which is exactly what Nick would have done, you know, always after the underdog, always looking for, you know, not the showy, not the super popular, but the real. And and he just would have loved how beautiful this is, how much the kids were enjoying it, the fact that the boy is getting a real good workout. I've literally just spent, you know, at least an hour throwing a ball at him for him to catch, because that's just what he likes to do. Make it hard, Mom. And the girls are just playing together. They have a game that they always play at the beach. And they could just do it for hours, literally hours and hours. And I felt him like he was here. It was like he was here. And I just don't know. I don't know how to feel that. I know I never will be able to. That Dad will always not be here. And sometimes it's always in the most special moments that that it becomes so acute in me, you know. It's pointy. It hurts. And one of them is walking towards me now. I will pause. So we ended up just having some hot chips, which even the kids were saying, these are the best hot chips I've ever had. This is literally the perfect day. Nothing could ruin this day. Even they are aware that this is just some kind of magical moment. They said this is their best day in Japan so far. And I said, even better than Universal Studios. And they're like, it's just a different kind of amazing. And I really do get that. There is just nothing that compares to the simplicity of a moment in nature, beauty, everyone having a good time, relief from heat. You know, it's simple stuff. It is just simple stuff. So I'm watching them now. Everyone's got pink shoulders. The girls who didn't get them new rashes before we left, so they're in bathers, sort of like almost for the first time in full sun. And my youngest has super pale skin like me. I'm so worried about her. We blathered up multiple times. But they're in the shade now, and I'm just watching them again. They just don't want to leave. That it's just honestly some sort of special moment. And I've been thinking a lot about feeling this good as a norm and wondering how, you know, I know that these moments aren't everyday life, but some people do live this way. Some people do travel with their kids and find beautiful places to live and figure out a lifestyle that works for them. Just curious about that for myself, what I'll end up feeling, or after 5 months, if I'll be like, get me to my bed, get me to lunch boxes and a normal rhythm and soccer training and pickleball for me, all those sorts of things. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. All I know is right now that today brought a magic, and I felt Nick right here with us, and I have not felt him for a really long time. I am grateful for that. And I do kind of sit in, I guess I have a peacefulness that there will always be this moment of realization that he's not there. When we're all having a perfect moment. And I guess it will always hurt. But maybe not as much. I don't know. Like, am I just setting myself up for 5 months worth of emotion? I mean, yeah. That's what this was all about, was just an exploration of self and grief and moving on, moving through, moving with. And I will continue to reflect and explore and just be as present as I can to the magic of these moments, because even the kids know this is a something special moment in time. Now I need to have a 40-minute train ride back to stinky hot Kyoto, and we'll probably get onigiri from the 7-Eleven because everyone likes it, and with some nice salads and stuff you can get there. Ah, I have to do some washing, but when this place said they had laundry, you kind of expect a washing machine in your room. Instead, this one has a joint washing machine, and you can't even see the countdown timer go down. So there's literally one washing machine, and you might need to be going down every 20 minutes to see if it's time for you. Okay, the boy has found a rock, and now he's throwing it because that's what he does. I'm watching. So funny, because I was saying to him before, I wonder what age you'll get when you won't want me to throw balls at you. And he was saying, good job. I reckon when I'm 25, I'm still going to want you to throw balls at me. And I said, surely there might be someone special in your life, or maybe some friends who'll throw a ball at you. Anyway, there's another traveling family. I think they might be Scandinavian. And there's two boys. I'd say they're about 15 and 17. And this one kid is literally on the sand on the beach, just throwing a ball at his mum. And she's catching it and throwing it back, and he's getting frustrated because she's not doing it very well, but he's not stopping because someone's throwing a ball. Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing. Boys as little puppies who need a bit of a run around, who like balls thrown. I got myself one of those, and my God, I love that child. Anyway, you better pack up soon. Now he's finding some dead fish and he's throwing back out. What goes on in boys' heads? Quite genuinely. I actually said to him before, what do you think about when I'm throwing these balls at you? And he's like, just getting the balls. What a life. Anyway, I also said to him, because he's like, Mum, are you crying? Why are you crying? And I said, I'm so happy. I said, I'm thinking about Dad. And he's just sort of quiet. And I said, hey, you know, when people are experiencing big emotions, do you know what to do? He goes, well, I kind of do with you and the girls, but like if Omar had big emotions and she cried, I would not know what to do. That's his grandma, my mum. And so we had a bit of a chat about what it means to hold a space for someone's emotions, not try to fix them, but just, you know, what do people want in those moments, and making sure that we find out, really. And he asked if my recent boyfriend was good at that, and I told him, yeah, I think it was actually one of the things that I appreciated most about him was his extraordinary ability to just allow me room to move through my emotions and just be there for them and ask what I needed in those moments and then deliver it. He was exceptional at that, actually. I mean, how could I be with someone through these years who wasn't good at that? Because there's been a lot of emotions for Lisa, a lot to move through, a lot of grief. I mean, there was the COVID years. Everyone had stuff at that time. So we spoke about that and what I appreciated from him. It was good. Anyway, they're waving at me now. I'm being called back into the water. Maybe it'll be good to be nice and wet before we head back.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Conversations on the Road. Hey, are you following me on Instagram? I'm sharing loads of behind-the-scenes adventures right there. I'm at Lisa Corduff. Make sure you follow along. I'll see you there.